The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Kingdom Connection. At one time in our life or another, we have all experienced wounds, disappointments, failed relationships, physical pain, financial troubles, and so much more. Deep wounds require deep healing.
Scars are a testimony of God's ability to heal deadly wounds. Scars mean this is what I overcame. This is what, how bad it was, and this is how good God has healed me.
This month, with your gift of any amount, request Jensen Franklin's new product, the Deep Healing Pack, including his powerful message, Deep Wounds, Deep Healing, and a unique set of healing confession cards. Through this series, you'll learn how to trust God with your deepest wounds and experience His supernatural healing. You are an overcomer. Request the Deep Healing Pack today.
Go to Revelation chapter 13. It may seem like at first that these scriptures are confusing, but I believe that truth will come forth in the next few moments and your eyes of understanding will be open. He talks about in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13, I saw a beast that had seven heads and seven horns and seven crowns on his head come up out of the sea. And then in verse 3, and I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound, listen to this, was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Which he has given a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. He said in verse 3, there was a mortal wound, a deadly wound, and his deadly wound was healed. And so today, I want to talk to you about the wounds that can come in our life. You know, this scripture, some Bible teachers and commentaries say that it is dealing with the Antichrist. I think certainly it is forecasting a coming world dictator, but I don't know if these seven heads, what they mean. Some say it means that he will be shot or assassinated and then come back to life. We don't know. Nobody really knows. Some other people say it is one of seven nations that will, like Germany, will be wiped out but come back to life in the end time. No one knows for sure. Then there's those people like me that don't have a clue what this verse means, except there must be something in it for our life because it's the inspired Word of God. And what I want to show you is this, the point that I see in it more than anything else is there was a wound and it was a deadly wound. It was designed to bring forth death. It was a wound that was inflicted, and it was a deadly wound to bring death. And it's a picture of most people, because I think everyone under the sound of my voice has or will in life suffer hurt, suffer wounds, suffer disappointments, wounds that should have, could have, and will kill if they are not healed. The Bible said in John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil does not fight fair. The devil will not give up until you're wounded to death. If you let him, he will wound you. He will attack you. It's problem after problem, issue after issue. The devil's intent is to deliver, listen to me carefully, a deadly wound. A deadly wound until he wounds you to death. He hits you here and then he hits you there. deadly wounds. And if he can't get you, he'll get your spouse. And if he can't get your spouse, he'll come after your kids. And if he can't get your kids, then he'll hit your business. He'll hit your finances. He just keeps trying to do what he does, kill, steal, and destroy. And he tries his best to wound people. You read the book of Job and you see how that Satan operates. He wounded that man over and over and over and over and over, trying to wound him with a deadly wound to make him curse God and give up. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a real miracle with your eyes? I want you to look to your left and look to your right, and I want you to realize that you're looking at a church full of miracles in this room right now. Because there are people who have been through problems. There are people who have been through sicknesses. There are people who've buried kids. There are people who've lost loved ones. There are people who have been wounded. They have been hurt. They have been devastated. But they're still here. They're still worshiping. They're still praising. They're still shouting. They're still believing. They're still holding on. And if you've been wounded and you're still here, I want you to give God a great praise. Yeah, come on, just take a moment and say, I have been wounded, I have been hurt, but I am still alive and I'm still here and I'm still believing. I'm still believing. The devil can huff and he can puff, but he cannot blow your house down. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The wounds of life that the enemy Satan sends are sent for one purpose: to destroy you, to inflict you with a deadly wound that kills your soul, that kills your worship, that kills your joy, that kills your dream, that kills your marriage, that kills your family. Peter was warned by Jesus. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, to wound you with a deadly wound. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. He was saying, in other words, Peter, the devil wants to do everything he can to keep the microphone out of your hand on the day of Pentecost. And so he's going to wound you, and when, not if, when you are converted or healed of that wound, go find your brothers and strengthen them. When you are healed of your deadly wound and your deadly attack, it's going to open up the opportunity for you to help somebody else. Prayer still makes the difference. Jesus said, I'm praying for you that the wound that the enemy is going to hit you with, Peter, does not destroy your faith. Healing will come. Restoration will come. I want to say that again because it felt so good. Healing will come if you won't give up. But there is an enemy who wants the wounds of life to destroy you. Isaiah 53 puts it this way: Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Two key words: he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded, he was bruised for us, not for himself. Now we are the body of Christ. Could it be that your wound or your attack is not really for you or about you? Could it be that you might be going through hell today so that through your wounds somebody else can be healed tomorrow? Webster defines a wound as being an injury to the body. And many of you in this room have been wounded by a divorce, wounded by a bankruptcy, wounded by a layoff. Maybe your wound was overcoming an unfaithful spouse. Maybe it's an untimely death of a son, a daughter, a husband, or a wife. Maybe the wound is only seeing your kids every other weekend or not at all. Maybe your wound is a spouse that admits he's no longer in love with you. Maybe your wound is being betrayed by a close friend or relative. Maybe your wound is an addiction to alcohol or drugs or pornography. Maybe there's trouble with your kids. Maybe there's violence in your life. We have wounds that seem like they cannot be healed. Deadly, deadly wounds. Now I want you to listen to me. Notice what happened in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3. When the deadly wound was healed, verse 3 says, and all the people wondered. In the King James it says, they wondered. And then in verse 4 it says, they worshiped. And then in verse 5 it says, a mouth was given to speak, so they witnessed. And in verse 7 it says that they went to war. After the healing, after the overcoming of the wound, notice the progression. The wonder came back, the awe, and then the worship, and then the witness, and then the war. You see, this is what the enemy wants to do. Let's back it up. And when you understand that you cannot wage successful war without a strong witness, and you can't have a strong witness without true personal worship going on in your life, and you'll never have worship without wonder and awe of God. And the danger that you can never get to that place of warring against the enemy and defeating him, all is connected to the wound not being healed. Because when you have wounds that are not healed, you begin to lose the wonder of God. You begin to lose the worship of God. You begin to lose your witness of God. And then you cannot fight spiritually and win the war that you're in, because you no longer are in a place of advantage. But the enemy has come, and he has got a bitter root down inside of you that poisons your spirit through that wound. The reason that there's no wonder is because there's still deadly wounds. I'm saying to you that wounded people cannot truly worship. Hurting people hurt people. Wounded people live in the past. And God wants to reintroduce the wonder. God wants to reintroduce the worship. God wants to reintroduce the witness and reintroduce the power of doing war against the enemy and see him defeated in our families. It's not God's will for that wound to kill you. It doesn't have to be a deadly wound. God can heal it. It's not God's will for you to lose sleep. It's not God's will for you to let the wound that has been inflicted upon your life destroy your joy. We need the wonder. We need the worship. We need the witness. And we need the war against the enemy to come back alive in our souls. And it will only happen when the wound has been healed. How do you get the wound healed? Well, number one, you realize you're not the only person to be wounded. That somebody just like you has gone through just as big of a situation, and they were wounded and they are still victorious today. Jesus received deadly wounds at Calvary. But 3 days later, there was the resurrection. And when he rose from the dead, the people wondered. And then the people worshiped. And then the people witnessed. And then the war started for the souls of men. The deadly wound was healed, and a church was birthed, and a world was changed. And I'm saying to you today that that's why the devil tries to keep you offended, keep you hurt, keep you wounded, keep you mad, keep you upset. He knows if he can ever get you wounded, he can make that wound, if you don't get it healed, become a deadly, deadly wound that begins to kill the joy in your life, in your family, in everything about you. He knows if you ever get healed of those deadly wounds, just like Jesus, lives will be altered because you survived your deadly wounds. Listen to this. Healing is a must. You have got to overcome this. You have got to get in the presence of the Lord until every hurt, every issue, every unforgiveness, every offense has been bathed and cleansed and washed in the blood of Jesus. And you come out saying, He makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Isaiah 30 and verse 26 is a powerful promise to people who have been wounded. Look at it. He said, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, or seven times brighter, as the light of 7 days. In that day that the Lord, when is this going to happen? When the Lord binds up the breach of his people, listen, and heals the stroke of their wounds. He said, your night will become like day, and your day will become seven times brighter when you let me heal your wounds. Oh, God. Nighttime will become daytime in your family and in your home. And daytime will become seven times brighter. I like that word seven because he said when the thief is found, he has to restore seven times. Whatever the enemy has taken, when you let God heal the wound, how do I know when I'm healed? When you can hear their name or that situation and you don't hate anymore and you don't get upset anymore, you are healed. And don't tell me God can't do it. And this is not an option. He said, if you don't, I won't. If you forgive, I will. If you release healing, I release healing. Is that important? But he said, to those who will let me heal their wound, I will give you days that are seven times brighter. I'll give you days that your nighttime will be like daytime. Seven times brighter. Jesus was healed of his deadly wounds, but he was not healed of his scars. The scar became a testimony of God's ability to heal. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was healed of his deadly wounds, but God did not take the scars away. We want complete restoration where nobody knows we ever had an issue. We want such restoration that nobody knows that our perfect lives were not perfect. We want everybody to think that we have the picture-perfect family, the picture-perfect marriage, the picture-perfect life, and there has nothing because of my great faith ever come to my home. But scars are a testimony of God's ability to heal deadly wounds. Scars mean this is what I overcame. This is what how bad it was, and this is how good God has healed me. And I'm not ashamed of my scars. And Jesus walked into the upper room after he rose from the dead, and he said, some people need to see my scars like Thomas, or they'll never believe. He said in Zechariah that the Jews will not believe until they say, who put these wounds in your hands? Then he will answer, I was wounded in the house of my friends, and the Jews will get the revelation. Jesus is the Messiah, the one that was crucified in his own house. Is the Messiah, but they won't believe till they see his wounds. I'm saying to you, quit covering up your scars. They remind you of what you've been healed of. Wear them as a badge of honor. The scar proves how bad it was at one point. Hallelujah. I'd be a fool to walk around and act like I've never had marriage problems. I've never had family problems. I've never wanted to quit. But What you do is you look at the devil and you say, you see these scars? They're proof that you tried your best with mortal wounds to destroy me, to wipe me out, to destroy my family, but no weapon formed against us could prosper because I serve a God who heals deadly wounds. Quit acting like you're perfect. Quit being so prideful that you can't ever let anybody know. Doctors say two things are critical for wounds to heal. Two nuggets. Number one, they say leave a wound uncovered. It helps it stay dry and it helps it heal. So if you want to get your wound healed, number one, stop covering it up. And then the second thing is they said bleeding helps clean the wound out. In other words, stop covering it up and let the blood flow. Every time you come in here, just rip the Band-Aid off and say, well, come on, Jesus, let the blood flow. Change me, transform me, cleanse me, heal me. Get the bitterness out. Get the anger out. Get the hurt out. Get the disappointment out. Get the hopelessness out. Get the depression out. Get the fear out. Get the suicide out. Heal my wounds, oh God. Heal my wounds. In church, we got to quit playing God games. You can't shout over your wounds. You can't worship. You can't witness. You can't war. You'll lose the wonder of Christianity if you allow wounds and offenses and hurts and cuts to get you to the place that you become bitter. But I want to say to every person under the sound of my voice, I'm not denying that the wounds are real. Oh, listen to me today. You may feel like you're at your wit's end and you don't know what you're going to do. And you're wounded and you're hurt and you feel like giving up. But my heart is sensitive today because I've dealt with two suicides this week in this church with families related. I know those families. I don't know what they feel, but I can only imagine the wounds. The wounds. And I want to say to somebody today listening to me, you won't find the answer in a bottle of alcohol. You won't find the answer in a pill. You won't find the answer in cocaine. You won't find the answer in the arms of another lover. But come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. I can heal your wounds. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, Jesus. And by his stripes and wounds, we are healed. Well, I want to pray for you today because I believe this message is speaking to so many of you who are watching this. We've all been wounded. We've all been hurt. And deep wounds require deep healing. And only Jesus can heal some wounds. And I'm praying today that he will use this message and use this moment to touch the wounds of your heart, of your life, of your family, that forgiveness and healing would come, that God would move mightily in that situation, that wound that maybe you've carried for years and years and years. God wants to use you. God wants to use the scars that you have from the wounds that you've gone through to provide healing for others. And today I'm praying for you. Let me pray for your healing. Lord, I thank you that you are our healer. And I speak healing to people, healing of wounds, emotional wounds, addictions, bondages, family issues, troubles in marriage and
and issues with people's lives that go so deep. And Lord, some of the wounds are deep wounds. They're very real, abuse and hurt. But I thank you that you provide deep healing now through the cross and the blood that you shed. Go into every home, into every life, into every marriage, into every situation with your healing power. Heal sick people right now. Thank you for the wounds you took that we could by your stripes be healed of disease and sickness. And I speak life, health, and healing. I make room for healing right now. Lord, take this moment and heal the sick that are listening to me. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, I pray, be healed. Amen and amen. Praise God. I really believe God's doing something right now. And it's all right if he's touching you right where you are. The power of God's word is going into that wound and making you whole. And God's going to get glory out of everything you've been through somehow. His name is going to be glorified. I'm praying for you. We're praying for you here at the ministry. And I want to thank you in our closing moments for your prayers and your help in taking the gospel all over the world. You know, everything that you do in your prayer and in your giving to help us stay on the air and reach even more people, we take and we use for two purposes. We take every penny that comes into this ministry and we use it for world missions, or we use it to pay for the airtime that you're now watching this program. And now we're expanding into more markets with the gospel and the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can heal the wounds of America and the nations of the world. He's the only one that can heal and solve the problems and complex issues that we're facing. Jesus is the answer. Help me take that message today. Pray and ask God what he would have you do. Maybe you can sow a special seed this month to help us reach unreached people. He needs to touch their wounds and heal them with his stripes. I know you believe that. Pray for us. We're praying for you. Thank you for watching this program. We'll see you next time on Kingdom Connection.
Life is real. Vivid, alive, beating, breathing. It happens behind closed doors and out in front. There's joy. There's laughter and chaos. Lifelong friendships are forged. Love is found. Moments cherished and never forgotten. Life is a gift. And together, we are real family, real friends, real people, experiencing real life. This is Free Chapel.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. For more information on this broadcast or for additional resources, go online at jensenfranklin.org.
Can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know you. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not. Without them I wouldn't know.